relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today. I'm Sebastian Gorka, and this is America First with our very special guest host, the voice of Dallas, Mark Davis.
That's me. Thank you, Seb. Appreciate you, sir. Thanks to the listenership of America First with Dr. Gorka, the good doctor back hanging his shingle on Monday, meaning we have today, meaning just one red hot hour left, and then we will be with you again on here. Hang on a second. I got a little video issue there, guys. Yep. Oh, lordy. Sorry, guys. Yeah, I've got the audio thing. I'll be back in the video world next segment. Anyway, phone number is 833-334-6752, 833-33-GORKA. And we have been spending some pretty wonderful quality time together talking about last night, talking about looking past one backward 100 days, back one night to the Biden speech, such as it was, and looking ahead 1 year to 2022, and then looking ahead 3 years to 2024, and just looking at the landscape and where we are as conservatives and what we're doing, and just all of this good stuff. So along those lines, let us grab your calls. We got some audio to listen to and some stuff to tackle. 833-33-GORKA, 833-33-GORKA. I mentioned something that I need to get to, and because I got in the middle of 14 calls and got waylaid for a little bit, and that is a tribute to a great American. We've talked a lot about the great Americans of the greatest generation today and how important it is and how hard it is to create future great generations. I mean, even as messed up as education has been, as messed up as our culture has been, we still managed to have, and now we had Bernie Kerik last hour, who was police commissioner for 9/11, and that's coming up on 20 years, which is just impossible to believe. And yet we've had people for a generation now, wonderful young Americans stepping up and joining the military. Some have called it a new greatest generation. The people who did this, who have done this and who have fought and put their lives on the line to fight the war on terror. It's harder to create generations like that when we are undercutting the kinds of qualities, when we're undercutting manhood, when we are undercutting and attacking resilience and self-sufficiency, when we are bathed in self-absorption as a culture, it's just, and when parenting is at an all-time abysmal low in terms of the quality and quantity with which it is delivered. It's hard to, I'm constantly optimistic. I always am. But it's hard to see where we're cranking out oodles and oodles of great generation style young men and women in the coming years. I think that the pendulum can swing. If there's anything that's been true for a whole lot of American history, is that things are a certain way and then they are another way. You know, not everything swings back and forth and back and forth. Some horses leave the barn, never to return. But in terms of our political mood, our cultural mood, maybe we realize someday that we don't have a gun problem. We have a people problem. You know, that we don't have, in terms of crime and punishment, the problem is not that we have too many people in prison. It's that we have too many people who do things that land you in prison. And that we realize that some basic common sense things have just slidden off the rails. And maybe we can get common sense back. And that doesn't mean that everybody's going to agree on everything. That's never going to happen. Unity is a myth. And you shouldn't even ever seek it. There are going to be people who feel this way about something and that way about something, and that's fine. But we used to be able to talk about it and with an atmosphere of benefit of the doubt, an atmosphere of goodwill and good humor. And those days seem to be gone as well. So when things happen, when, for example, for those of you who have not run across me, I pretty well run the official space dork talk show of Texas and maybe even the rest of America. Man landed on the moon when I was 11 years old. Never forgot it. Never stopped being special to me. And it still is. And now having this gig, it's a pretty wonderful thing. I've had a chance to, I had Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on a panel at Dallas's Frontiers of Flight Museum in 2008. Pinch me on that. I still can't believe it. And from Apollo 13's Fred Hayes, whom I welcomed to the local show last month on the 51st anniversary of the Apollo 13 drama, to be able to meet some of these guys, talk to some of these guys, and bring them to a talk show audience. Are you kidding? I can't believe the good fortune of being able to do that. So I mentioned this by way of the following observance. Mike Collins passed away yesterday at the age of 90. When Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walked on the surface of the moon, on the Sea of Tranquility, July 20th into 21st of 1969, it was Mike Collins who orbited the moon about 70 miles up, going around the moon all by himself. Boy, you talk about by yourself. How many human beings have ever been as alone in such deep solitude? Is it possible? I mean, maybe one of the ancient, well, none of the explorers were by themselves. If you're rowing a canoe across the Pacific by yourself or something like that, has any human being ever been, let me do the math here. The diameter of the moon is about 2,100 miles. Add on about 70 for the altitude of the command module. At one point when Neil and Buzz are walking around on the lunar surface and Mike Collins is in the command module orbiting by himself, that would place him, call it 2,200 and some miles away from any other human being. That may be a solitude unlike any other in human history, and he loved it. All of the command module pilots, the guys who you might say are sort of forgotten by history, they didn't get the really cool job. Apollo 15 command module pilot Al Worden, who passed away last year, I talked to him one year, and he said, yeah, those guys, their job is to pick up rocks. I got to map most of the moon. I was doing way more science up there than they were doing down there, and I don't think he was totally kidding. Mike Collins never threw out hot quotes like that, but his service first to the Air Force, where he was a brigadier general. He was the first director of the National Air and Space Museum, which you've got to do if you're ever in D.C., right there on Independence Avenue between 4th and 7th, Air and Space Museum. Are the museums even open yet in D.C.? I grew up in the Maryland suburbs. I used to badger my parents, could you take us to the Smithsonian so, you know, my buddy Fred Daly and I, we can go, you know, gawk at the space stuff. Well, I've been gawking at the space stuff my whole life. And Mike Collins passed away yesterday. And of the 12 guys who walked on the moon, I guess about half of them are still around. And this is another generation that is passing from our midst. And I just want you to appreciate what they did and what we as a country did. It was a time of amazing achievement. Of course, it was about beating the Russians, but also to my little wondrous child mind, it was about exploring the universe, human footprints on another world. It was amazing. Let me put in a quick plug. Where is it? Apple Plus, I guess. There's a wonderful series called For All Mankind. It starts out with a kind of an odd premise. It like, what if the Russians got to the moon first? Ooh, bummer. Who wants that? But I got to tell you, it jostles the world in a way that sets up an alternative history that's filled with, I mean, Reagan is in it, Carter's in it, Teddy Kennedy is in it, boy is he, and a number of other real characters portrayed by people and a lot of other fictitious characters. They just finished up season 2, and it is great. And not just for the space dorks or the history bus, For All Mankind on Apple Plus is absolutely wonderful. And one of the great things about it, and these young actors, mostly young, none of whom are alive for the moonwalk, they have developed and rekindled a great appreciation for the kinds of stuff we used to do. And listen, man walked on the moon when I was 11. I'm 63 and we ain't on Mars yet. What gives? What happened? Well, Skylab and the shuttle and blah, blah, all of which are great, but we kind of took our eye off the ball, and maybe we're getting our eye back on the ball. SpaceX and Virgin Galactic and Blue Horizon and all kinds of public-private partnerships between NASA and some of these private companies. It looks like we're going to put men and maybe a woman or two or three on the surface of the moon in 2024. Good for us. Good for us. And I love that there's a private sector component to it. I never minded the tax money. It's too expensive. We got problems here on Earth. Duh, no kidding. I know that. But for the fraction of a penny that we devoted to the NASA budget so that we can explore this universe that God made for us to explore, I believe, that was always, and I've been a conservative my whole life, but that was always a little sliver of government money that I was willing to spend. And anyway, so rest in peace, General Brigadier General Mike Collins. And so that means Neil's been gone for a few years. Mike is now gone to his reward. Buzz Aldrin is 91, and he'll fight you. he is so great. Buzz is a force of nature. He is still around, and he may outlive us all. So I wanted to thanks for letting me carve out a little show there for that great American tribute here on America First with Dr. Gorka. Mark Davis filling in. Back to your calls next. Stick around.
Let there be no doubt. Big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. But even if you keep your accounts, you don't have to give big tech websites access to your data. That's why I chose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. Ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust at expressvpn.com/GORKA. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a one-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/GORKA. expressvpn.com/Gorka to protect your data today. Welcome back to America First with Mark Davis.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Doctor. Mark Davis in for Seb. He's back on Monday. We're together the rest of today. We got 39 magical minutes to fill here on the Thursday, April 29th edition of America First. And then we will wrap up the week and the month of April. Good grief. The year is one third done. Oh, wow. And 2021 was supposed to be so much better than 2020. I guess COVID-wise it is. Are we maybe trying to fight our way out of this this ridiculous drama? You know, the part of it is from the virus itself, and the other part is from the crazy bad science and the crazy overreactions and bad policy, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not as locked down, and I see light at the end of the tunnel and all those wonderful things. But 2020, Trump was president, and now he's not. And we are working our way through what is, and I'm sticking with this, the worst first 100 days in the history of measuring a president's first 100 days. All righty, well, let's take care of a few more calls. Again, 833-33-GORKA. Follow me on Twitter, at Mark Davis, and shoot me a little thing there if you want to. I'll check those during the commercial breaks and get back to you when I am able. Let us head to Columbus, Ohio, Line 5. John, that is you. Welcome to America First. Mark Davis in for Seb. Happy Thursday. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Mark. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, real quick on a side note, if you've never been to the Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio, it's well worth a trip if you're ever up there.
It's at Wright-Patterson Airfield, isn't it?
Yep.
I've been to a few Apollo launches down in Florida when I was a kid, and you know, Houston's down the road from me and Huntsville and stuff, but I have not made that trip, and I would love to. Thanks for the tip.
It's huge. You could spend the whole day. It's like triple the size of the one in DC. But anyway, the real reason that I called, I don't get what the end game is for the Democrats. I mean, especially with Iran. What do they think is going to happen by befriending or trying to befriend Iran while you're, you know, basically throwing everything you can at the Israelis? I just don't get it.
Let me give you 30 seconds, maybe 60, and I'll give you the ball back and then see what we think. Because we have to do this. You're asking perfect questions. We can't just say, oh, liberals, they're all crazy. Oh, the left, they're all, you know, they're terrible or evil or whatever. We got to figure out why they do what they do in order to better argue against it. You have to understand your opponents in order to better combat them on the field of debate. So, what about liberalism and Iran and the cozying up to Iran? Start with the fact they do not value Israel as an ally. They just don't care. Throw in the fact that there is a liberal belief that there is such a thing as Iranian moderates, which in the streets of Tehran there are, but among the mullahs that run the country and among the Iranian political class, there is not. The Iranian political power structure goes to bed each night dreaming sweet dreams of the violent eradication of Israel from the map of the Middle East. So why doesn't the left care about that? A, don't care about Israel. B, they want to be thought of as cultivating some kind of peace with the Middle East that involves coddling Iran, coddling the Palestinians, and coddling jihadists. None of us, here we are on the 20th anniversary of 9/11. They've never been serious about defeating jihad, which Dr. Gorka wrote a great book about. So you take some of their, what's in their political DNA, the kind of things they're trying to do and intentionally not doing right now, backing Israel as our only ally in the region, and that's what gets to a Democrat Party that is obsessed with this Iran nuclear deal, even though it is bad for America, bad for Israel, bad for the Middle East, and bad for the world.
Okay. I just don't understand.
Yeah.
Now, you had Trump who had real progress and peace in the Middle East.
Absolutely.
Are they continuing that? Of course not.
No. The Abraham Accords, they happened. I mean, the embassy is still in Jerusalem. They haven't moved that back. I guess we should be grateful for that. But the Middle East stability that we had under Trump was not an accident. It's because in the Middle East and other regions of the world, various forms of tin horns and tyrants, they knew that America was not to be trifled with. And there is enormous value to that. There always will be.
Well, thanks for taking my call, Mark.
God bless. My pleasure. Thank you, John. Thanks, everybody. We're doing deep business in Columbus, Buckeye Country. Let's go to line two, JR. Hey, that's you. Welcome to America First. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. Great show. Just so you know, my beautiful wife and I, our son, we raised to be a man, not a snowflake. So
good for you. Good for you, John, and your bride as well.
Yes, sir. Okay, so anyway, I think there's a disconnect only because nobody can comprehend the numbers. And my son is 19 in engineering right now at OSU. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to him and I go, do you know what $1 trillion is? And he's wonderful with math. And he goes, yes, that is a humongous number.
Exactly right. Exactly right. To use a technical term, it's a humongous number.
And we're talking about a 19-year-old. So he goes, no, that's a humongous number.
That's right.
And I think the average person, and I don't blame the average person, we're too busy paying our bills, providing for our family. And when you say a trillion now, you might as well be saying watermelon is half off.
Exactly right. It's a total non sequitur. And if somebody wants to just, you know, not while you're driving, take out a piece of paper and do a one and a comma and three zeros, that's 1,000. And then 1,000 of those makes 1,000,000. Then 1,000 of those makes 1,000,000,000. And then 1,000 of those finally gets you to 1,000,000,000,000. So
right.
Yeah.
No, well, sooner or later, we're going to come up with a new one. And that's what, I mean, I'm already scared, and I'm worried about not me, but I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about your children. I'm worried about all the children in this audience right now, because they're the ones that are going to pay the brunt of this.
They are, and we used to care, and I don't know why we don't anymore. And JR, thanks for the opportunity to riff on that for a minute as we close out this half hour. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very, very much. What happened to, and I don't even mean fiscal conservatism, because obviously half of America at any given era is going to be fiscally conservative, the other half fiscally liberal, and you know, et cetera, et cetera. But we just stopped caring. You remember when people used to say that America's debt was bad because, you know, we rack up all this debt? It's like having a big credit card bill that somebody else has to pay off. And the people who have to pay off America's credit card bill with all this debt and all these deficits, the people who are going to have to pay it off are our kids. And you've probably heard this observation made, that this is the first generation where the notion of doing better than your parents is kind of gone. And that's not just because this current generation. I mean, I'm lucky enough to live through, you know, Reagan and Trump, navigated a few Democrat presidents in between, but I'm very blessed with what I've been able to do in this life, and I feel very fortunate every day. I hope my kids do at least as well. The number of people who feel that way, though, that the notion of our kids doing better than their parents is a lost concept. And that's sad. We need to find a way to rediscover that. All right, I'm going to rediscover some calls and some thoughts of my own, intermingle them with yours on America First with Seb Gorka. Mark Davis filling in. Be right back.
Relief Factor. Have you tried every other form of pain relief only to fail and not find your answer? Well, try this incredible product that is providing liberation from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, including Alicia from California. I'm a grocery store worker and have been working doubles during this coronavirus shutdown. At 52 years old, my two bad knees are not getting a rest. I literally limp to and from bed. 2 days into Relief Factor and the pain has decreased substantially. So thankful for this amazing product. That could be you. It should be you. Find out today the only way you can by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them at 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Alicia, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose except the pain? Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
America First, magnificent.
Yes, it is. Even when the fill-in guys are here, Mark Davis in for Seb. He is back on Monday. We are here together today and tomorrow. Glad of that. Who knows what kind of fun we'll have tomorrow. But it sure has been great today. And we got a home stretch half hour here. And we are going to say hi to Project 21's Horace Cooper, great voice for black conservatism. And that's going to be coming up in our very next segment. So don't miss that. And don't miss this if it goes the way I think it might. We're on line one in Minneapolis. Robert, welcome. Mark Davis in for Seb. It's a pleasure to have you. How are you?
I'm doing good, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Maybe even a little better right now. Go for it.
I'm sure you're probably looking forward to some entertainment in the next few seconds.
And I expect to get it. Don't disappoint me.
I'm one of those few percentage of people that doesn't believe that we actually landed a man on the moon.
And why would that be? What makes that thought take up residence in your otherwise functioning brain?
Two very simple reasons. Mm-hmm. In order to have an astronaut inside the lunar module, mm-hmm. in a vacuum of space, the module would have to maintain 14.7 psi of air pressure inside the module.
That is completely scientifically false. It is completely false. The lunar module operates in a vacuum. Obviously, all spacecraft that are operating between the Earth and the Moon, that would be true of absolutely every spacecraft. I know there's tinfoil and it looks spindly, et cetera, but that is just simply scientifically false. What's number two?
So they didn't have to maintain Earth's pressure inside.
What's number two?
Number two is, if you look at official NASA photographs of the lunar module sitting on the surface of the Moon.
Right.
Supposedly, according to NASA's own photographs, the moon dust is so fine that you can see every single detail of a boot. But yet a rocket stopped the lunar module from slamming into Earth into the moon with a 500-pound thruster. And not one single speck of dust landed anywhere on the pristine gold-covered legs of the lunar module, and there is zero deformation of the ground underneath the module.
There are blast craters under every descent stage of all the six lunar modules that landed. So what are you talking about? What?
All you have to do is look at a photograph of the lunar module, and there is absolutely zero dust anywhere on the undercarriage of that module.
No, I understand that completely. It is not necessarily the same kind of tactile, clingy dust. This is really simple stuff, Robert. And I tell you what, I'm gonna back away for a second and offer something up for you that can put something in your head that is better than what's there now. There's a concept that helps you understand life sometimes called the secret that's too big to keep. All right. The secret that's too big to keep kicks in when there's some conspiracy that you maybe think is true. But if it's something that would involve hundreds and hundreds of people keeping a secret that, if revealed, would be so huge, it would change everybody's life, and that somebody could make $1 trillion writing a book about. And if that hasn't happened, then that theory is probably BS. It's the secret that's too big to keep. And this would certainly be that. So I love you. Appreciate you. And let's hop to Los Angeles. Line two, Benjamin. Hey, Mark Davis in for Seb. How are you?
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Let me
give you some numbers when we talk about the debt and getting deeper into it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you liquidated all assets across the board, everything, real estate, stock market, the whole shebang, it's roughly about $130 trillion. So you start there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, as we speak today, the national debt is about $28 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Back when it was around 20-ish, about 20 trillion range, just payments, the debt service on that alone, just the debt service that the Feds had to pay every year,
mm-hmm.
was roughly about, this is the 2017 numbers.
Gotcha. Here's what I need you to do, because I need you to do this. I need you, I love you. This is great. If we're over coffee, I got 40 minutes. My brain's leaking out my ears a little bit. Bottom line
I'm
it for
make
me.
It short.
No, okay, no, well, no, no,
yeah,
that's 30, pretty, 30, that's pretty impossible.
30,
is what. Bottom line is what? Go,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Go.
So back in 2007, just the debt service on that money, when it was mm-hmm. 23, it was $700 billion.
So the bottom line is what? So the bottom line is what, in a sentence that involves no numerals whatsoever? Go.
Bottom line, I don't think they can dig themselves out of it, so they want to create hyperinflation. That's the only
there
way
you go.
Way up.
There,
that's
you,
why
no,
they're printing
there,
money.
There you go. Now we got somewhere. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I've often thought that one of the reasons that we don't care, that maybe politicians don't care either, even the conservatives don't seem to care anymore, we must be thinking we can just print X amount of money and just, like, who's the national debt owed to? Huh? I mean, whom actually are we paying off? There's part of the problem. Mark Davis in for Dr. Gorka. Back in a moment with Horace Cooper of Project 21.
You know, I love MyPillow and how it literally changed my life. It's the pillow that won't go flat. You can wash it and dry it as many times as you want, and it'll keep its shape. And it's made in the USA. Now, for a limited time, Mike Lindell is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a standard queen premium MyPillow for just $29.98. That's originally $69.98, $40 of savings. And Kings are only $5 more. That's the lowest price ever. Just $29.98 for the standard queen premium. And all MyPillow products come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code G-O-R-K-A. You'll find the most amazing offers and deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and the MyPillow Towel Sets. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code G-O-R-K-A, MyPillow.com. Welcome back to America First with Mark Davis.
How time does fly when you're having fun, and we just had a superb time today. Oh, and we're not done. We had a wonderful time talking to Steve Moore about the economic disasters that await us under Biden, talking to Bernie Kerik about not just political stuff and law enforcement stuff, but his memories of 9/11. Hard, it's impossible almost to believe it was 20 years ago. And now the opportunity to say hi to the gentleman who is the co-founder of Project 21. Follow them on Twitter, at Project 21 News, the great Horace Cooper. I love this guy. I've been around him on Twitter for a long time. And, Mr. Cooper, it's a pleasure to have you here on America First. I'm glad I'm filling in today so I can say hi to you. How are you doing today?
All right. I'm great. How are you?
I am fantastic. So here I am, a white conservative guy, and I think I've got a good handle on this. And my conservatism leads me to not care at all about what I call the pigment or the plumbing. I don't care what race anybody is. I don't care what sex anybody is. I care about what's in your heart, what's in your head, what's in your spine. But the fact of the matter is, there was some extra added value, was there not, in having Tim Scott do the response last night. Tell me what you thought of it, and we'll go from there.
Well, it was really a stark contrast. I mean, here you have a person on the one hand who read his speech, and even like Santa Claus, who is the guy that everybody wants free stuff from, can give his "I'm here to give you your stuff away" speech with way more enthusiasm, with way more excitement, and make it sound way more attractive. Our president, in giving away trillions of dollars, made it feel like this was a class assignment to watch him speak last night. In contrast, Senator Tim Scott had a very exciting story to tell, reminded people of the, I thought, the biggest takeaway, an obvious thing, but that he said it: America is not a racist place. And then he talked about all of the kinds of things that conservatives and people who believe in liberty have to offer, and why this administration is going in the opposite direction. It was really a study in contrast.
It was, and since no good deed goes unpunished on social media, there's Tim Scott, who delivers a wonderful conservative message, a gentleman, a senator, a proud South Carolinian who happens to be black, and the racism of the left rears its predictable head with a hashtag Uncle Tim, a play on words of Uncle Tom, which is a smear given to somebody who supposedly betrayed some racial allegiance. And so, and it was up for 9-10 hours at least. What did you make of the Uncle Tim mania on Twitter last night?
So apparently this is the thing that confuses me. I'm told that there are certain things that you're not allowed to say, and that big tech will drop a hammer on you and prevent you from being able to participate, prevent other people from being able to see, unless, of course, it's hateful rhetoric against a black guy who is offering ideas that you think are unpopular. But apparently the rule is, oh, hate away, hate away. So it's actually quite confusing to me. I actually believe in free speech, and I think the best counter to speech you don't like is better speech that is responsive and accurate, that will be useful to counter the narrative. Big tech could choose that particular model, But it turns out almost invariably, when given the choice between playing the let's let good speech outweigh bad speech model, they have to decide, well, is this speech we like or is this speech we don't like? So that was a little bit dismaying. It wasn't actually all that surprising, but a little bit dismaying that it's so obvious that this is how big tech wants to play.
Do black conservatives have anything in common? I mean, is there any common thread? I mean, I've tracked the story. I've been fascinated by the story. Alan West, a great friend of mine, Clarence Thomas, my favorite Supreme Court justice. And again, I love them not because of their blackness, because I don't care about anybody's race. But the Democrat Party gets 90% of the black vote for some crazy reason. Folks like you are trying to fight that. So whenever I'm talking to a black conservative, either as a caller on a talk show or a guest, people become fascinated with the path. My friend Larry Elder did the wonderful Uncle Tom movie about this very thing. What is the path to black conservatism?
Well, one little qualifying or correction here. I think that number is closer to 80 than it is to 90. The media has really done a great job in manipulating our impressions of what's going on.
Right.
And in some communities, that number is even starker. People forget that in 2004, but for the 30%+ of the black vote that George W. Bush received, he wouldn't have won Ohio and thus won the presidential election.
Good point.
We're not going to revisit today. I think it deserves its own show, but there are a lot of reasons to believe that the reports of the election outcomes in 2020 leave a lot to be desired in terms of their accuracy. And in particular, what I remind people, blaming black Americans who benefited most from, everybody benefited in America, but black Americans benefited most under the 4 years of the Trump administration. And instead of letting their true expression occur, where we're looking at between 28% and 35% of black America, particularly not quite half, but more than 40% of black men having voted for Donald Trump. Instead of seeing that, what we see is some astronomical measure of turnout where 91, 92, 94, 97% of blacks in particular precincts are purported to have voted for Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. There is no reason that would be the case, and lots of reasons to suggest that the opposite would be true. So all of that said, and
yeah, about 20 seconds, finish strong. Go ahead.
Black America, like white America, benefits from freedom, benefits from liberty, benefits from government not running their lives. And we've been told by media that people who are black don't appreciate freedom. That's bigoted. And that's why I say it's not true.
And that is why Horace Cooper is a great voice for black conservatives. Project 21. Follow him on Twitter at Project 21 News. Thank you, Mr. Cooper. Appreciate it, sir. A final segment. What will I shoehorn into that? You'll find out next. Mark Davison for Dr. Gorka.
Mr. President, you're thinking a lot about these elections and what took place then. Are you thinking about running again, Mr. President, in 2024?
Yes, 100%. And the polls show it, and everybody wants me to do it. 100% I'm thinking about running, and we will, I think, be very successful.
I could not get through an episode of America First with Dr. Gorka without playing that cut of President Trump with Maria Bartiromo. He's 100% thinking about it. he's having fun with us, right? He's having fun with life. You know, as much fun as you can have under the Biden regime. And it's funny, we talked to some people today who kind of think he's going to. I've spent weeks saying all other things being equal, I think he's not going to run. that he's going to be loving the golf, the family time, the being rent-free inside the heads of Jim Acosta without even having to be president, et cetera, et cetera. And he could be a kingmaker, an anointer, and still be the most important political figure in America, maybe even including the 47th president of the United States. But then somebody, even in today's show, see, I do actually listen to the calls, said, God, unless it was the calls or one of the guys, Jeff, Shad, Eric, joy to work with you. I've had the idea arise today that even though all that might make sense, that just like Hillary always wanted to be president, and that was for bad reasons, for Trump to want to win again, not just to pull the Grover Cleveland and have two non-consecutive terms, but to come back and finish what he started, and the people who'd be driven stark raving insane by that, I got to tell you, that's a pretty big draw, pretty big pull on him to run, and a pretty big draw on me as a talk show host and as a conservative and as an American. So as all of those things put together, as we get ready to fold up the tent here, and we're back tomorrow. Anything we didn't do today, we can do tomorrow. A fresh rack of news. And I very, very much look forward to that. Always find everything you want Gorka related at SebGorka.com. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Davis. And boy, if you want me in book form, here are a couple of things you can do. I got a couple of things out from Regnery, the brave publishing house that have rescued Josh Hawley. Remember, big publishing tried to get rid of Josh Hawley and his book, The Tyranny of Big Tech. Well, Regnery is releasing Tyranny of Big Tech, and it's out. It's on Amazon like right now. I think the release date is a couple of days away, but you can find Josh Hawley, Tyranny of Big Tech on Amazon right now. And while you're there, get both books I happen to crank out, Lone Star America, How Texas Can Save Our Nation. That was 2014. And then in the year Trump was elected, I wrote Upside Down, How the Left Turned Right into Wrong, Truth into Lies, and Good into Bad. That's a long subtitle. Just do Mark Davis Upside Down on Amazon, and there you are. And as we get ready to head out, President Biden gave us his American Families Plan. I kind of have one, too, and it sounds really different. Try this on for size. I want a plan that protects our families from collapsing borders. I want a plan that protects families from spending into oblivion, protects families from punishing success, protects families from anti-constitutional governance. Those are the kind of things I want to protect families from. But hey, that's just me. I'm a talk show guy. And a lucky one. Thank you, Seb. Appreciate it. Back with you tomorrow here on America First. I'm Mark Davis. Have a fantastic rest of your day.